to lead us into 2 minutes of silent meditation, I want to put an idea into your head about grandmothers. Because today is about grandmothers and grandmothers in Africa and grandmothers in Canada. A remarkable DNA study showed that in Africa 80,000 years ago, a small band of humans walked out of Africa. Many people stayed in Africa, but this small band left 80,000 years ago. Another band left about 60,000 years ago, and they spread out, and they were the first humans to spread out. And in some way, now through DNA testing, it can be shown that we all have one grandmother, and that all grandmothers are all of our grandmothers. And with that, think on our grandmothers and meditate for 2 minutes. And now it gives me great pleasure to welcome Phyllis Webster, one of those grandmothers, to talk about AIDS in Africa.
Thank you, Peter. And thank you for inviting me to speak to you on behalf of the Victoria Grandmothers for Africa about AIDS in Africa, the Stephen Lewis Foundation for Africa, and the Grandmothers for Africa, who are helping the grandmothers in Africa who are raising their orphan children. Firstly, I'd like you to know that I lived in Cape Town, South Africa in 1965 to 66, before AIDS was discovered. It was my first year away from home, my first year of teaching, and even though I had to work so hard, I had time to explore this beautiful country and to fall in love with the people, if not the politics of apartheid, and the fact that Nelson Mandela and hundreds of others were incarcerated on Robben Island, breaking rocks, wearing almost nothing in the cold, cold winter. I promised never to return to South Africa until my black friends could vote, and 7 years after that happy event, I paid my second visit in 2000 as a volunteer this time, and I was able to teach children of black African background in a little farm school outside Grahamstown in the Eastern Cape, and also in a wonderful school in Grahamstown where young adults were improving their marks in order to go to university. Secondly, I'd like you to know that I'm a very proud grandmother of two little boys who are 3 3/4, very important, and 14 months old, who are healthy and, of course, ridiculously smart and cute. Is that ringing a bell? I hear it. I would like to know how many, and I'm going to include grandfathers, please, in this little survey. So how many of you are grandparents of 1 to 5 grandchildren? Okay. Ooh, and from 6 to 10 grandchildren? Whoa. And from 11 and on grandchildren? Yes. Oh, my. And I know that there are great-grandparents in the audience. How many of you are great-grands? Yes. Oh, my goodness. And I know you have 14. Oh, 21. My goodness. How wonderful. Now, I would like you to imagine, and this is a horrible thing to ask you to do, but that all your own children, all of them, and their spouses, all of them, have died from HIV/AIDS, hastened perhaps by hunger and other diseases such as malaria and TB. You have been asked, particularly grandmothers, to look after all your grandchildren and perhaps neighborhood children who are also orphaned. I have read of one grandmother who's looking after 28 children, some of them being neighborhood children as well. This is the reality of many grandmothers in Africa who are extraordinarily poor and may in fact have HIV themselves. I'd like to put this tragedy in context. There are 34.4 million Canadians. There are 33.3 million people in the world who are affected by HIV/AIDS, and of those, 22.2 million live in sub-Saharan Africa. 72% of all the deaths in the world from AIDS occur in this area, below the Sahara Desert. AIDS, I'm sad to say, in Africa has a woman's face for women for reasons I will go into shortly. Women, especially adolescents and young women in their early 20s, are twice as likely to contract AIDS than males in the same age group. AIDS is a 30-year-old problem and has spread rapidly throughout Africa for many reasons. It's spread by men who work far from home, for instance, in the gold mines of South Africa, and who visit prostitutes and then take the virus back to their wives in the agricultural areas. For the same reason, the virus is spread along the highways by truck drivers. Women are particularly vulnerable because they lack education, are economically dependent on men, and are unable to assert their rights. They live in a very patriarchal society where women are expected to be submissive and therefore are unable to refuse sex or to negotiate the use of condoms, if indeed condoms are available. Beyond unprotected sex, AIDS is spread by the use of needles in the drug culture, and sadly, the transfer of bodily fluids such as blood, which makes being a caretaker very, very difficult. During war, and we know there are many wars in Africa at any one time, rape is used as a weapon of war, and AIDS continues to spread. This is particularly a problem, an egregious problem, in the Democratic Republic of Congo. If children do go to school, there's seldom sex education, and they do not understand how to protect themselves. And beyond sorrow for me, babies contract HIV in the birth canal. As an important aside, a single $2 dose of nevirapine could prevent many babies from contracting HIV during the birth or through breastfeeding, $2, which could prevent 138,000 pregnancies, which they are estimating right now, could prevent 138,000 babies from contracting HIV. Here's another terrible fact. Some groups believe that having sex with a virgin, sometimes an infant girl, will prevent HIV. Another terrible consequence is that those who have HIV do not come forward to have help for fear of losing their jobs and other, their respect in the community, and so HIV is carried on. Now, an event in Grahamstown made all this very personally powerful. The 80 students aged 18 to 24 and all 8 teachers at the school had gathered to hear a local doctor from the HIV hospital. She counted us off in fours. If you were a high school audience, I would count you off in fours. Each teacher was a one. A few minutes later, she asked all the ones to rise, and we all did, all the teachers and many others. It was the year 2000. She said, as calmly as I'm saying it now, in 10 years, you will all be dead from AIDS. In other words, 25% of South Africans were destined to die in 10 years. I felt as if I'd been punched in the stomach. Now, back to the grandmothers. A whole generation of parents have died, leaving the elders to raise the children. There are very few people between the ages of 35 to 55 or 60. Can you imagine the economic consequences of that, beyond the tragedy of orphan grandchildren? I'm sorry, grandfathers in the audience, many of the African men who are grandfathers have disappeared, because they are also dead from AIDS or other diseases or accidents, or have simply given up on their responsibilities. There are 14.8 million orphans in Africa, many of them also HIV positive, and 40 to 60% live with a grandmother who struggles to feed, house, and educate children with very few resources. Beyond belief, there are also many children who are heading households and looking after their siblings. When I tell high school students the example of a 14-year-old who is looking after a 9-year-old brother and 4-year-old twins,
They are simply horrified. I promise no more ugly, horrible statistics. The rest will be positive. I've made the point that the extent of AIDS is enormous and the consequences are devastating. Now, let me tell you the inspiring story of the Stephen Lewis Foundation. As you know, Lewis was the ambassador to the UN in 1984-88 and a special envoy for HIV/AIDS from 2001-06. It was during that time that he visited orphanages, talked to the caregivers and to the children, and sat with the grandmothers under the trees, a common place for meetings in the villages. And he realized the great need to help these remarkable women raise their grandchildren as they grieved for the loss of their own children. He began his book, Race Against Time, which I recommend to everybody, by saying, "I have spent the last 4 years watching people die." He went home, and around his kitchen table, with the help of his daughter, Alana Landsberg Lewis, and others, the idea of the Stephen Lewis Foundation was born. And in 2006, a group of grandmothers in Canada joined hands with their sister grandmothers in Africa, and Grandmothers for Africa was born. There are now 250 groups in Canada of women, some of whom are not yet grandmas, raising money for the Stephen Lewis Foundation. I'll tell you more about that later. The foundation raises money for and supports 300 grassroots projects in 14 sub-Saharan countries. Every project involves orphans, grandmothers, and people infected with AIDS. I stress the word grassroots because the project idea comes from a community which identifies a need for the program and plans it and requests funds, which are then administered by the group. There is careful monitoring by the foundation, but the work is done by community members. There are 4 field representatives in Africa who travel to see the projects, to help with concerns, and to celebrate the many, many successes. In addition, the foundation is a member of the Imagine Canada Ethical and Accountability Fundraising Code, which reassures donors that there is transparency, compliance to legal requirements, and ethical practices. The money which is raised for the Stephen Lewis Foundation provides the following: access to medical care, HIV testing and counseling, and antiretroviral drugs, palliative care for the sick and dying, school fees, uniforms, and books for school children. Do you know that in Africa they always insist that children at school wear shoes? I've never understood why, because some of them have to walk about 10 miles. The children at my school used to walk to school to the edge of the grounds and put their shoes on and then carry on to school. And if there was only one pair of shoes in the family, the children would share them. So if there were 4 children, this child would come to school with odd-shaped shoes and shuffle around school all day. But they would make sure that every child got to school every 4 days wearing their shoes. It also provides community education to reduce the stigma of having AIDS and provides money for support groups for children through drama, music, and sports. A startup for small businesses, seeds and gardening tools, latrines, water sanitation, mattresses, and bedding. I've seen a little movie about a little boy receiving his very first little foam mattress. He was about 10 years old, and he had never slept on anything except a rush mat on the floor, and you'd think he'd been given $1 million. He was so happy. Now, because I'm a teacher, a former teacher, and I believe that the future of Africa rests in education, I have chosen a program which features schools to share with you. Since 2004, the Stephen Lewis Foundation has partnered with a group called Nyaka in Uganda, which has done groundbreaking work in orphan care and education. Nyaka has built and runs 2 primary schools in a remote, rural, southwestern Uganda, part of Uganda. The schools offer free education to the poorest children in the communities, all of whom are orphans, and most of whom are cared for by a grandmother. Let me read what the chief teacher, Jackson Kuguri, says of these children. You are dealing with children who've experienced trauma. Imagine the five-year-old whose dad died in her hands, and her mom dies two days later, also in her hands. She has siblings, and now they live alone. They walk an average of 7 miles from school to an empty house. They have to find food and sleep in the darkness. The challenges are enormous. Over 2 million children in Uganda come home to a dark house with no mom or dad. Of the school, he says, we take a holistic approach. We could just teach them reading, writing, science, math, and social studies and be done. But they have unique challenges, and so we had to come up with unique methods. We look at their feelings. To help with grief and trauma, we use music, art, and drama as therapy. Children sing and use arts, music, poems, writing plays, and acting. They are all able to cope by expressing what they are dealing with. They write memory books with their grandmothers and learn what their mom and dad liked. These are some of the unique ways we work, and we continue to learn every day. In addition, there's a gardening program, which has meant that the children have two full meals each school day. School nurses visit their homes and help with care for anybody who's ill there so the children can attend school regularly. Girls who often dropped out of school when their period started are provided with sanitary products so they can continue to attend school without discomfort and embarrassment. There's much more. The Nyaka Anti-AIDS Club works in the community to teach AIDS awareness, to break the stigma of through performance and music. The Nyaka Grannies Project helps local grandmothers through support groups, parenting classes, income-generating activities, community gardens, and the provision of gardening tools and seeds. The network consists of 91 granny self-help groups for over 5,600 grannies. There are also adult literacy programs and workshops to train leaders in counseling techniques and life skills training. Nyaka, with the help of SLF, also supports a library, has helped to build 130 homes as well as kitchens and latrines to support hygiene and safety in existing homes for grandmothers and their orphaned children, grandchildren. Doctors and nurses give home visits, etc. So, and all of these are simply examples of grassroots programs that are being run by the people in the community with the help of funding from the Stephen Lewis Foundation. Now, I wish I could tell you about the Panzi Hospital in Bukavu in the Democratic Republic of Congo, one of the few facilities in the country where surgeons rebuild the bodies of women who have suffered horrible sexual crimes. Or the Hillcrest Aid Center in the village of the Thousand Hills near Durban in South Africa, which supports schools and healthcare centers, and where the women make what are called little travelers, little beaded characters. I'm wearing one today to help support both of those ideas, the healthcare and the education, and to help support their families. I'm very proud to say that one of my former students, Elan Schwartz, brought these first to Canada. He has since become a doctor and is now spending part of his year at the Hillside Aid Center. And he told me that when he was 16. He's now 27. And so I'm very proud of my little travelers. Now, I need to tell you about Grandmothers for Africa here in Victoria. And across Canada. By February of this year, and here are the happy statistics, all the Canadian grandmothers had raised $13.5 million. The Victoria Grandmothers, a group that I particularly belong to, have many ways of raising funds. Perhaps our biggest is the ride from Cameral River to Victoria, when 30 grandmothers, the average age of 65 and one in her 80s, raise money through sponsorships. Apparently, this year's ride has already raised $72,000. We also earn a good deal through our very active arts and crafts committee run by two ladies, both in their 80s, whom I call the Energizer Bunnies because they are indefatigable. I'm determined never to buy anything from them when I go, when I'm at a meeting or at one of our fairs, and I always end up spending all the money in my purse. We have raised over $1,000 just by rolling pennies with the help of local schools. In March, we're holding an African dinner, which I hope some of you can attend, and the list goes on. Every grandmother's group works very hard to raise as much money as possible to contribute to this very worthy cause. And I must add that I have learned so much and have had so much fun working with these remarkable women. In spite of the grim statistics, which I burdened you with at the beginning of this address, I would like you to know that Stephen Lewis himself believes that progress is being made. And the former motto of easing the pain of HIV/AIDS in Africa has been modified to the positive, turning the tide for HIV/AIDS in Africa. Turning the tide. Even though he is dismayed that money is not coming down from international financial agencies, at least it flows bottom up from the SLF. He believes that even though the foundation cannot provide help for everyone who needs it, that we can provide hope for hundreds upon hundreds of thousands. It is that hope that I'd like to leave you with. Now, please go home and hug your children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren and tell them that you love them. Thank you. Now, just one other thing I've been encouraged. I'm going to step aside like this to tell you I'm also a member of GRAN, and we have a special request of you if you feel comfortable. We are supporting the Canadian Access to Medicines regime, which is a request of the government. They promised in 2007 to send drugs at cost to Africa. Exactly one shipment has gone. We're asking Parliament to pass this bill. It would be at no cost to taxpayers, and we need as many people to sign the petition, which will be on a table near where you're going to have coffee. So if you feel comfortable, I'd really appreciate it if you would sign that petition, because it has to go in for October the 1st. And one other thing, on the table, you'll also find some information about Grandmothers for Africa and the Stephen Lewis Foundation. Thank you so much.